We are going to be preaching the next 4 weeks through the book of Jonah, a series that I'm calling Un-Jonah. We are essentially going to be taking a chapter each week and thinking about maybe what this book would have to say for us. Most likely this book was put to pen while Israel was in captivity. And so I think Israel uses this book to really help themselves think about themselves. In some ways, Jonah represents who they have been, kind of rebellious against God's will, and that rebellion has led them to their own whale, and that is their captivity in Babylon. And the reason why is because they have not been willing to be the light to the world that God has called them to be. And so finally, it's only after they come to a point of repentance that they're able to be spit back out of the whale, right? To be able to come back to Jerusalem and to finally think about doing the will that, of God that he's called them to all along. So in some ways, Jonah has this really big message for Israel as a whole, and it has this broader topic. We're not going to be talking about it as much from that perspective. We're going to be looking at it a little closer home to the prophet Jonah himself. But Jonah is a book that's almost entirely narrated in the negative. Have you noticed that? There's very little that Jonah does that is the right thing to do. Now, chapter 2 is a little bit of an exception to the rule. But even chapter 3, which appears that Jonah is finally on board, we find out in chapter 4 that he wasn't on board after all. He was doing it all for the wrong reasons. And so Jonah kind of serves more as a cautionary tale to us, a kind of what not to do if we are to live our lives pleasing to God. And so I think the takeaway from this book is going to be, don't be like Jonah. At least don't be like him most of the time. Now, next week, you can be like Jonah, all right? Chapter 2. But for most of the time, don't be like Jonah. Do the opposite of Jonah. So I was recalling, as I was preparing for the sermon this week, I was recalling a class that I took once on emotional and cultural intelligence, which is how we are aware of ourselves and we're around of our social surroundings, and we learn how to interact with people in positive ways. And so there was a certain individual who was struggling with the tests, which were multiple choice, and they said, do you guys have any thoughts for how we can pass this test? And this one guy said, he says, this is what I do. He says, when I go to take the test, he says, I read the question and I think about how I would normally act. He says, and then I answer the opposite way. He says, and ever since I started doing that, he says, I've passed every test. And we kind of laugh about that, right? But really, that's kind of this idea here with Jonah. Jonah kind of lives one way. We're going to not do that. We're going to live another kind of way. In fact, you'll kind of notice there's going to be a theme that's going to present itself each week. You notice today on the screen, there's the word resist. Because see, that's what Jonah does in chapter 1. He resists. And we've struck a line through it. And instead, we've decided we're going to do the opposite. We're going to obey instead of resisting. And so in week 2, we're going to surrender instead of drowning. And in week 3, we're going to be holy instead of being religious. And in week 4, we're going to be joyful instead of being angry. We'll read chapter 1 in just a few moments. But I'm not going to assume that everyone here knows the story of Jonah. Jonah is a prophet who lives in the northern area of Israel during the time when the Assyrian nation is just giving them all kinds of trouble. They're doing all kinds of bad things to them. Nineveh happens to be the capital city of Assyria. Mogul in Iraq is now where, in northern Iraq, is where Nineveh used to be. It's actually a long ways, probably 500 and some miles as the bird flies from where Jerusalem was. So Jonah is this prophet in Israel, and for all we know, he's a prophet who seems to always be obedient to the voice of God. There's at least one or two other places where Jonah, the son of Amittai, is mentioned in the book, I believe it is, of 2 Kings. But in the book of Jonah, the story starts with the word of the Lord coming to Jonah, asking him to go and to preach against the city of Nineveh. But as we're going to read in a few moments, we're going to find out that Jonah resists the opportunity. He resists the call of God to go and to preach against Nineveh. And so instead of heading northeast to Nineveh, instead he goes in the opposite direction and he leaves his town and he goes towards the Mediterranean Sea to the town of Joppa. He catches a boat in Joppa and he heads for Tarshish. Most people think that Tarshish is now an island that's just south of Spain. So basically, instead of heading this direction, Jonah is going to head this direction as far as he knows he can go, basically to the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, to an island. Most people think it's the island of Tartessos or Tartassos. I'm not sure exactly how to say it, off of the coast of Spain right now. And as you know, Jonah gets on that boat, but because of Jonah's disobedience to God, it is not too long before a huge storm comes up on the Mediterranean Sea, so bad that all of the sailors on this boat on which Jonah has hitched a ride think that everything is going to be lost, and so they start throwing all the cargo overboard to lighten the ship up to keep it from sinking. All the while, Jonah is down in the hold of the boat, seemingly oblivious to everything that's going on, fast asleep. Finally, the captain of the boat comes and gets Jonah up and says, "How can you be sleeping in this kind of a storm? What is going on here? What is causing this? And who has done something to upset the gods that a storm like this would break out?" Well, in their conversation with Jonah, they find out Jonah's story, the reason why he's going this direction instead of that direction. And Jonah, and they cast lots, and they find out that it's on Jonah's behalf that all of this evil has come upon them. And so they ask Jonah what they should do to him. Jonah says, "Well, the only option I know is to cast me overboard. And if you cast me overboard, then the storm will stop." But these heathen sailors can't bring themselves to do that. And so they say, "No, we can't do that." And they try to do their best to get to shore. And when they finally see that they can't get to shore, they finally relent. They throw Jonah overboard. And we're told in God's word that he's swallowed by a great fish. And at this point, the storm ebbs away. That is Jonah chapter 1. Let's go ahead and read it. And let's see how close I came to telling the story accurately. Have you found Jonah chapter 1 in your Bibles? "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach it against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God." You notice the little G there, to his own God. These were people that we would consider heathen, right? They didn't know about Yahweh, the God of Israel. "And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice on us so that we will not perish.' Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew ever wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, I've heard a few sermons preached in my time from the book of Jonah, specifically from chapter 1. They have been good sermons, which have preached some important truths from God's word, but truths that I would think that probably miss the bigger point of what the book of Jonah is trying to teach us. Let me just maybe tell you a couple of the truths that I've heard preach. That you may be the prodigal son, and you have been wandering far from God. You've been enjoying everything that you shouldn't be enjoying, and you have no regret for it whatsoever, right? You're just running as far and as fast away from God as you can. And even though God is calling to you to receive him as your Savior, you said no to him, right? You have not obeyed. You have not answered the call to him. And so the message, if it's preached in this way, is we need to say yes to God when he calls us out of our sin, right? So I've kind of heard that kind of a sermon preached from this passage. I've also heard a passage preached to preachers and to missionaries, or to would-be preachers and missionaries and Sunday school teachers and small group leaders. And the message goes something like this, that if God calls you to be a preacher, if God calls you to be a missionary, you need to say yes to him. And I think we could all agree with that, right? We need to say yes to God's call, and we should not run from our call, right? Like the prophet Jonah did. Now, while these are all good messages from this passage, let me just share with you some of the challenges that I see with preaching those specific truths from this passage, even though there's probably some validity to them from this passage. The first thing I think is that when God's calling to Jonah here, he's not calling a sinner who is running far from God to come to him, is he? It's not the sinner that God is calling in this passage. It's the saint, isn't it? It's God's prophet. And so while it's true that God always wishes for everyone to come to him and to receive him, this probably is not a passage that's being preached to someone who doesn't know God yet. This is a message that's being preached to the church. And then in regards to vocational ministers, I think sometimes this passage has been preached in such a way that has probably given them some unnecessary or unwarranted guilt in their life. Maybe a missionary or pastor discovers at some point that maybe they were ministering not under their call, but under their parents' call or under their grandparents' call. and realized that they thought it was their call, but really it was somebody else's call, and they were just trying to be obedient to God, but maybe they were ministering under somebody else's call. And because of that, at some point they realized that maybe that's not what God had called them to after all. I think also there's times in ministry where because of personal situations or health reasons, that a missionary decides they need to come home from the field, or somebody who's taught in children's church all of their life decide that they need to step away from it for a while, or even a pastor who feels like they need to step away from ministry for a while. If we're not careful, this passage can be preached in such a way that could make them feel that if they need to do that, then that maybe somehow that they are running from God and that they're displeasing to God. I don't know. In my mind, I don't think that's exactly what this book is trying to teach us. And so I guess I want us to think about the ways in which when we think about it, and only in that way, the way we effectively exempt ourselves from the truth of this scripture. Because if we only preach it as for people who are far from God, deep in their sin, and if it's only for them or for pastors and missionaries, then we can say, well, good, I don't have to pay attention here, right? This message isn't for me. But really, I think what we need to understand is this is a message for the church, right? This is a message for people who call themselves God's children. And this is a message about joining God in His mission where it is, not where we wish it was, right? So God is getting ready to be active in another part of the world, and the truth is Jonah's not really excited about this place where God's mission is going to get started. And that's the reason why Jonah says, no, I can't do it, I don't want to do it. Because Jonah's idea of what God needs to do and God's idea are kind of in conflict with each other, right? And that's why Jonah decides that he is going to run from God. And so I guess I want to share a little bit what I would say a little broader interpretation, what I think is a little better interpretation of this scripture. One thing that Jonah really helps us understand, and it is humbling, and that is that deeply religious people can sometimes be wildly out of sync with God. Now, I want that to sink in for just a little bit. That deeply religious people can be wildly out of tune, out of harmony, out of, you know, not marching to the same drumbeat as God. And that's what Jonah helps us to understand. I mean, Jonah is God's prophet. But all of a sudden, Jonah finds himself on a different page than God's on. Can we see that in the story? Jonah's like, okay, I'm really, really, really good with preaching to the Israelites. But I don't like the idea at all of going to preach to Nineveh, all right? Those are not my kind of people, right? I don't have respect for them. They're not worth a lick. They've caused us a lot of problem. And so really, Jonah helps us understand how religious people, people that I think we consider ourselves good people, right, can sometimes, without even realizing it, find that we're on a different page than God. And well, I think in Jonah's case, he kind of understood he was on a different page from God, right? But I think sometimes we can just kind of be oblivious to the fact that God wants to do this, and we're going to do this, right? We're going to do this, not this, even though this is where God wants to be involved in our world. And so deeply religious people can be grossly out of sync with God's vision for the world. And I think the other thing that's really humbling in this story, in fact, if you go all the way through the book, every time Jonah is contrasted with somebody else, whether he's contrasted with the whale or whether he's contrasted with the sailors, or whether he's contrasted with the Ninevites, or contrasted, with the shade tree that God causes to grow up for a while. Almost every time, Jonah is portrayed as being the idiot, right? Jonah is portrayed as being the villain, and everyone else is portrayed as being better than him. So it's interesting that in this first chapter of Jonah, Jonah, he's the God's guy, right? He's on the boat, but it's not Jonah that acts like God's guy on the boat. It's these heathen sailors, right, who act more, for a lack of a better word, who act more Christian, who seem to have more of God's heart, who seem to have more compassion, who seem to think more like God than Jonah thinks like God. And it's really humbling. And so the idea here is that sometimes deeply sinful people can act more Christ-like than religious people. That's a humbling thought. If you ever question that, take a peek on social media once in a while, right? And sometimes you look and you see some of your non-Christian friends, and you see some of the ways they show compassion, and you think, they're really, if we'd open our eyes, they're kind of showing the way for us as God's people rather than the other way around. Of course, that's not always true. Sometimes God's people are showing the way for others, but this passage helps us understand that sometimes deeply sinful people can kind of be a lesson to those of us who consider ourselves to be deeply religious. I also want to say this, that deeply religious people can sometimes be oblivious to the world around them. Here's Jonah, God's man, down in the hold of this ship. The storm is raging, right? And Jonah's like doesn't even seem to know what's going on. He's down there asleep while the sailors are up top trying to save the boat from disaster. God give us eyes to see and to understand the world that is around us. And then deeply religious people can sometimes find creative, self-serving ways to other people in the world whom God loves just as deeply as the church. And I think this gets down to the crux of the whole story of Jonah. And that is, Jonah just doesn't understand how God could love the Ninevites. It blows Jonah's mind, or how God could love them enough to not bring judgment down on them, or how God could love them enough to want to reach out and to extend favor to them. Instead of getting on God's side of the equation, right? Jonah instead gets on the other side and just spends his time thinking about how evil the Ninevites are. And if you question that, look, read the rest of the chapter. Jonah is consumed by how bad the Ninevites are and how much they deserve God's punishment. And because he is so consumed by that, Jonah has no space left in his life to grow the love that he needs to have if he's going to go and preach to the Ninevites. And so that's a really big lesson for us, because as we look around in our world, there's a lot to be disappointed in, isn't there? There's even a lot to be angry at. There's a lot to hide our head in shame about, right? And we think, boy, oh, how could these kind of things be going on in our society? Well, I think the lesson of Jonah is, well, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to be so consumed by wrath? Are we going to be so consumed by disgust? Are we going to be so consumed by the way that repulses us that we have no room left in our heart for God's love to grow in us, so that if we did go and minister to them, we could do it in the right kind of way, in the right kind of love? And I think that's at the bottom of the book of Jonah. That's the message. that we have to get beyond our anger, right, and our repulsion for things in the world that we don't agree with, so that there can be room for God's love to grow in our hearts for the people that God so desperately loves. And that's what Jonah's going to find out. And it's going to be a hard pill to swallow. That God loves the king of Nineveh as much as he loves Jonah. And God loves Nineveh's people as much as he loves the king of Israel's people. And so Jonah has to get a hold of that. And so that's the message that Jonah has to come to grips with. And so deeply religious people, if they're not careful, that's me included, not just the other churches and not just you, but me included. We have to be careful that we don't find ourselves on a boat that is sailing away from the people that God loves. I came up with that on my own, by the way. We have to be careful that we don't find ourselves on a boat that is sailing away from the people that God loves the most, or pulling up the gangplank before they can get on. Because God loves, if there's any message that flows through God's word, is that he loves us all. He loves us all desperately. And Israel's calling is to be a light to the nations. And that comes all the way down to us. We are called to be a light to the nation. So the bottom line is this, that Jonah finds himself resisting God's call to offer redemption to a group of people that he found repulsive. He's willing to minister to the Israelites, but not to Israelites' enemies. In fact, I have to tell you, I do kind of find it interesting, and we don't deal with this now, but I remember a time when it would get really quiet in the church. Like in the mid-2000s, if we preached about going to minister to the Arabs, right, or to the Muslims, because that was really close. That was just a few years out from when they were responsible for doing damage, right, to us. And so when we put ourselves in those shoes, we can understand how Jonah felt, right? God, really, you're calling me to minister to them after what they've done to us? Jonah finds himself resisting the call to challenge the dominant political narrative. So you want to talk about being unpatriotic. Go and preach redemption to the Ninevites. For most of the people who are an Israelite, there was nothing more treasonous that you can do than that. And Jonah understands that. And that's one of the reasons why he resists the call of God. But I wonder how the story could have been different if Jonah had obeyed instead of resisting. God's heart for the people who seemed opposed to everything Jonah stood for. So as we close today, I kind of want to leave us thinking as we go. We're not gonna have any resolve today. There'll be a little bit of resolve in next week's sermon. But right now, I just got to leave you thrown overboard and swallowed by a whale. Who is it that makes you feel the most uncomfortable? It may be a social class of people. It may be an ethnic group of people. It may be a political group of people. It may be a group who identifies by some other thing. But I want you to think about it right now. Who is it, or what group of people, or what kind of people make you feel the most uncomfortable? And whoever that group is, for me, they are my Ninevites. They're the people that God's called me to. And I say, really, God? How about Philistia? I'll tell you what, God, I'll go to Egypt, but not to Nineveh, right? Because those people for me, they just give me the creeps, right? Those are my Ninevites. Those are your Ninevites. And so the question, I think you may have seen it on the Facebook post that Carrie put out earlier for us to think about this sermon series, or specifically about this sermon today. What do we do when the thing God calls the church to do seems difficult or repulsive? And that is the truth. We're sharing good news, but sometimes we're sharing good news, and it's difficult because it goes against the flow, right? Maybe it's not what we would be our first desire, but God says, no, those are the people. Those are the people I want you to minister. Those are the people that I want you to go to. And so Jonah is going to learn, in fact, I think as he's thrown over and swallowed by the great fish, Jonah is learning that that it's better to obey than it is to resist. So I want you to